It's Psalm 1 that I want to look at this afternoon, or this evening really. And what are you reading this summer? Maybe over the summer you think, oh, I'll grab a book and read it. And there are lots of great books. I've got a few at the door, which I'd love to give to you if you'd like a book to read over the summer. But really, the book I want to point us to above all else is this book. This book, this wonderful book. And I want to just tell you a story just before I begin of one of the reasons I've chosen this passage tonight. A friend of mine, a wonderful guy, has been following Jesus for many years, grown up with this book, taught from this book many times, but is just beginning to find this book one that he is... Well, this is less delighting in all of it, and maybe only delighting in some of it. And our culture is changing so fast that I just want to say, this book is one, I don't know how many years you've been picking up this book, but I have a little group of questions in the front of my Bible by a man called Alan Redpath. Some of you might have read some Alan Redpath over the years. And one of the questions that he says he uses to just get him thinking about how his life and his spiritual life's going, he says this: does the Bible live to me? Do I give it time to speak to me? Am I enjoying my prayer life today? Did I enjoy it this morning? Simple questions like that. Is this book living to you? Are you delighting it? Because the psalmist says this in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked. This is page 543. Or stand in the way of sinners. Or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And so, Lord, I pray, God, we know that day is coming when you're coming back. And Lord, I pray that we would be people who hold on to your word and delight in your word, and that you would use tonight to remind us again of just how important and precious your word is, I pray. Help me, help us. Amen. A couple of days ago, in fact, I think it was yesterday, that we as a family thought, what should we just watch to relax and unwind? And we opened up our kind of place where we keep all our DVDs, and someone suggested we watch the opening ceremony from the 2012 Olympics that we have on DVD. Do you remember the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympics? So you got to go back before the World Cup, back before 2016 in Rio, and it was the Olympics in Rio, and then back to London 2012. I see some people who remember it well at the back there, and it was an amazing opening ceremony. It was very English. It was kind of started with the kind of green and pleasant land, and then the Industrial Revolution, and then the kind of digital revolution and all that as well. And I don't know if you remember, but before that had been the Chinese Olympics, and that was in 2008, and that had been so different. The opening ceremony of that had, obviously the culture's different, the influences are different, very regimented, of course, Brazil, Rio was a whole different thing again. And, it's a reminder that actually many different influences in our lives lead to different outcomes. Different influences lead to different outcomes. And it's possible for in life there to be many possible influences on our life that can lead to many possible outcomes. But actually in some things there are sometimes just two outcomes. So again, take the Olympics, for example. In the Olympics, you know what it is, that there are kind of ways in which different events are meant to take place, and whether it's the long jump where they kind of slightly overstep the mark and then they kind of don't get the jump even though it might have looked good, and so they disqualified that jump. Or maybe it's a kind of relay race and they're trying to pass the baton, and what happens when the baton drops? That's it. you're out. Or when they step out of their lane, you're out. And these people might think they were running a good race. They get to the finish line and they look back and they realize that they'd stepped out of line. And they realize that the outcome has been completely scrubbed because they didn't do it in a way that was right. Two different outcomes. Well, our psalm talks about two ways. Two ways are marked out in this psalm, and the last verse describes them like this: the way of the righteous, the happy way. It's the blessed way. The word in verse 1, blessed, means happy. It's the blessed way, the way of the righteous. But there is another way in this passage, and it's the way of the wicked. And the way of the wicked is seen as a futile way. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The futile way or the happy way. And actually, so often in life, we can lose perspective of just how much is at stake. We can kind of maybe look at the lives of those who just live as they please or a wicked way, not pleasing to God, and think maybe that's a good way to run. And we forget how it ends and how it all looks. So I want to just look this morning, rather than sort of do 2 points, the first on the top and the second on the second, I want to kind of look at these simultaneously as we go through this passage tonight. And I want to look at, firstly, different influences on our lives that can shape the way, and then different outcomes from that. Okay, so first, different influences. There are two different influences we see here in Psalm 1. If you pick it up with me, you can read in verse 1 and 2, it says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. You know, we are all influenced by loads of different things. By friends, by family, by teachers, by what we read, by what we watch, by what we listen to. So let me just pause and simply ask you to think of this. What or who are some of the significant influences on your life? Just think for a moment. What are some of the significant influences and voices in your life? If you're finding it hard to maybe just think of answering that question, you know, who do you spend most of your time with? Who do you actually listen to talking most? You might think, oh, it's my spouse, or it's my workplace, or it's my person I've sit next to, and they're always saying this, or whose opinion do you actually find matters most to you? What kind of things do you read? What kind of things do you watch? You know, what influence is our lives make a massive difference. And we can sometimes actively choose what influences us, or we can sometimes kind of passively drift in that. And the psalmist here is saying, encouraging us, you know, as you begin a week or a day, I mean, this is Psalm 1. It's like the first song in this songbook, this amazing songbook that's been used by the Jews for all those years, and now for the church as well. The amazing songbook, it starts with Psalm 1 because it's encouraging us to think about what influences our life and make a positive choice to let God's word influence our lives. So it's saying, don't just, you know, walk or sit or stand. There's a kind of deliberate progression here with the wicked. The walk has got that kind of actively following the counsel of the wicked. So someone says, right, let's go do this terrible thing, or go and, you know, behave in such and such a way. And some people do get caught up by just going along with the crowd. You know, someone says, right, we're going to go do this, and we're going to, you know, in our city, there's all kinds of things that people can get swept up in. And they just go along with it. They're saying, don't do that. Don't walk in the step with the wicked. But then it says, don't stand. It's maybe less active, but you're still kind of standing in the way. There's times when actually it's better to run. It's better to get out of the way, not just kind of stand and linger. And then there's sit, almost like it's a kind of decision to join in, to kind of soak it up, to say, okay, I'll just, you know, I'll listen to this stuff that's going around. And actually, sometimes I think when it says here, do not sit in the company of mockers, we sometimes think, well, I wouldn't spend a whole evening sitting and listening to that person. But then we actually might spend a whole evening sitting and listening to them on the television as they just, you know, say all kinds of things. Sometimes derogatory things against Christ. And I remember listening to one comedian who I quite enjoyed listening to, and I realized that he was actually just using Jesus' word as a swear word just time and again. I thought, I actually don't want to listen to this. And I realized I can turn it off. And, you know, that's the thing that the psalmist is encouraging us to do here. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, actually, we need to be aware that bad company corrupts good character. And that's something we often think about for our young people or those when they go to university. But it's true in our own lives. You know, who is it that you're hanging around with? Who is it that you're listening to? And maybe we don't have that kind of same kind of group of friends who do everything together, maybe in a different season of life. But still, what is it that is influencing your life? And verse 1 moves into verse 2, where it's saying, rather than don't do this, it's now saying do this. Look at the contrast. It says, blessed is the man who doesn't do those things, stand or sit or walk with the wicked. But, verse 2, say this first bit with me, but whose delight is... But who delights in this book? You know, most of the time I've spent myself being discipled or helping disciple others to grow in their walk with Jesus. The thing I say most to people is, how are you doing reading God's word? How are you doing getting time in this book? And I find that it's amazing that even people who have been Christians sometimes for many years, they're just fallen out of a habit. And then sometimes we can get into a habit, but we can lose the delight. It becomes a habit. It doesn't become something where there's a delight, a digging in. You know, I've found that to delight in God's word, I do have to pick it up. I do have to read it. I do have to try and engage my mind and my heart with it. I find that actually to delight in God's word, often I find it helps me to mark down or note down what it is that I'm delighting in God's word today. So what is it that I've found that's like a treasure that I'm thinking, oh, that is good, I'm going to hold on to that. Sometimes I take a pen and I mark my Bible. And I even sometimes date things by it, say, this is special, I underline it. And then when my one Bible gets too old and beat up, I go to another Bible and I start underlining and jotting that. And sometimes I can just get out of the habit of doing that. And I've found it helpful as I've come back even today to think, that does me good to get back and mark my Bible and write in it and circle that. Yeah, the steadfast love of God. Oh, yeah, that's something I can think about on a morning in my own quiet time. I don't just have to come and sing about it. When we sing those songs about the never-ending love of God, we think, wow. But actually take time to delight in that in the morning as you come to the scriptures on your own. So is this word being something that you delight in? Is it something that you find yourself still memorizing bits of? It gets harder, doesn't it, as you get older to memorize. But one of the things we try and do as a family, and I know I was chatting to someone, I said this morning, some of the young people as they were heading down to Wales about just, it's amazing that you can get this into your life and heart, and it influences you for the rest of your life. There's so much other things that you could be listening to or reading, but this is a great, great book to delve into. I heard once someone say about the Bible that it's like an ocean. We're so privileged to have the ocean down the end of our road, that children can paddle in the shallows and get loads out of it. Have you ever noticed that? That the children play in the ocean and they can just paddle in the shallows. And the same is true of the Bible. Kids can just, you know, splash in the Bible. They might not fully understand it, but they can get stuff out of some of the stories. They can dig into some of the things in the New Testament. And, you know, Jonah, my six-year-old son, can enjoy the Bible. We read it together every night, and he knows the stories, and he says, oh, can we pick that one? And, you know, and it's possible for a six-year-old to delight in God's word. And yet, like the ocean, you've got some people who their entire life is dedicated to exploring the ocean. They're divers. They're oceanographers. They're spending their whole life just thinking about the sea and the depths of it. And they know that they haven't even got close to understanding all of it. It's that vast. And this book, I don't know how many times you've read it. I don't know how many sermons you've heard. There is more in this book. There's more to delve into. There's more to delight in. There's more to discover. There's riches that you haven't yet explored. I can guarantee you in this book. Delve into it. I encourage you. Let it be the key influence in your life that brings that righteous, happy way in your life. John Piper, a pastor who I love to read, I recommend any of his books, and one of the things he says, the only hope against the pleasures of the world is the pleasures of the Word. And delighting in God's Word helps us as we go on in our life. So verse 2 says this, it goes on and says, not just delight in God's Word, but meditate on it day and night. It's again a really helpful pattern. Sometimes we can think, oh, well, I've done my reading my Bible today, and that's it, done. Or maybe we kind of think, oh, I must read it before we get to the end of the day. But actually, there's something really great in life when you can get into a pattern of both morning and evening, just kind of like bookends at the end of the day, hammered in with Scripture. You know, my dad used to have this little thing that many have heard before, but no Bible, no breakfast. So, I've taken to just trying to make sure that the first thing I try and do is just read the Bible. Because actually, I want my soul, even before my body, to be nourished. I do have a cup of tea with my Bible. No Bible, no breakfast. But then he also, and this is a bit of a navigator thing, was just, he'd sometimes say, his word, God's word's the last word. So at the end of the day, his word, last word, the last thing in my head before I go to sleep, try and let it be God's word. Maybe it's bringing to mind what you read in the morning. Maybe it's actually going back to a familiar. Maybe it is picking up the Bible and just remembering one bit of it. But trying to do that at the end and the beginning of the day. And then, you see, during the day, you then have got something you're carrying through the day. You're meditating, or meditating is not kind of blanking your mind like in a kind of Buddhist monk kind of way. That's not meditating in the Bible sense. In the Bible sense, meditating is taking a bit of God's word and chewing over it like cows who chew the cud and carrying it with you through the day. What have you been meditating on today? And then as you get to the end of the day, this thing when you have it is your last word, it actually does impact your dreams. It impacts your sleep, your peace. You kind of close down the day, as someone once said, a bit like gathering in the sheep into the pen so that they're not all running round wild in your dreams. His delight is on the law, and on his law he meditates day and night. Read God's word, mark God's word, learn God's word, meditate on God's word, study God's word, and apply God's word in your life. That is the key influence, and it leads to a different outcome. So we've had two different influences, and now lastly and briefly, we're just going to think about two different outcomes. There are two simple pictures here in the passage. In verse 3, the first picture is of like a tree. That person, the person who delights in God's word, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. This was a passage that you read for us, actually, Brian, just as we were, worshiping. That sense in Joshua of, you know, of when we follow and obey God's word, that it prospers our lives. And I was thinking, you know, we've had the rain the last couple of days, but it has been so dry that almost the grass everywhere is kind of straw. It's like just dead, or it looks dead. But the trees have still stayed green. Have you noticed that? I mean, we don't have loads of trees in this area, but the trees have by and large kept their leaves because their roots go deeper. And look at this picture here of a tree, a tree whose roots go down by streams of living water. And that the picture here is of actually a life that whatever happens, its roots are touching into something life-giving. This, a life-giving book that means that our leaves don't wither. And we're able to bear fruit even in the different seasons of life. Even in sometimes the challenging times, there's a sense of a vibrancy and a productiveness. An ability to persevere, a security, a rootedness. Compare that with the second picture. They're not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This chaff is it's the inedible, dry, scaly, protective casing of the seeds of cereal grains, of wheat and grain. It's the stuff that's kind of burned and left on the fields and just thrown away and allowed to kind of be blown away by the wind. It's got no substance, no produce. It's not useful for anything. It's not planted. It's not established. It's not secure. It's just blown about and it withers and it's futile and it just eventually gets destroyed. That is what the way of the wicked is like. It leads to nothing. And particularly before God, for whom one day we will all give account, it comes as nothing. the way of the wicked. This is how it is summed up in verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction, or the way of the wicked will perish. But here's the challenging thing. That as we come to this passage, we realize that so often we have not gone the way of the righteous. We've not delighted in this book. We've all of us, the Bible says, at times gone the way of the wicked. And that's a problem, because actually that means that all of our lives have this sense of, without God's grace and intervention, we perish. And that is why this amazing famous verse from the Bible, like John 3:16, that God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That God is able, through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh and incarnate, God is able to take our lives and restore us, so that what looked like it was going to just go in a futile direction is able to be established and grounded and bear fruits. And we, as we come to Christ and believe in him and trust in him, the Word incarnate, as we follow him, he helps our lives to be those lives that, again, on that righteous way, walking with him, the happy way. And so tonight, as I just encourage Brian and Mortimer to come back up, as they're going to point us again in worship, I want to just call us to a fresh commitment to God's Word. Maybe just in the quietness, I'm just going to get us to pause before we worship. Just say, God, help this book live to me this summer. May I read it and delight in it morning and evening. Fresh commitment to Christ, the one who the Bible points to. Say, Jesus, thank you for taking me from that futile way of the wicked. And I want to turn again to you in your way. Lord, please help us live in a way that's pleasing to you. Should we just be still for a moment? Examine our hearts. Jesus, we're sorry for where we've gone the way of the wicked. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and saving us. Thank you for your love for us, Almighty God. Thank you for your Word, which speaks of your love and your grace. And Lord, we want to ask again that you would help us delight in your Word, to meditate on it, to live by it all the days of our lives, and to follow you until that day when we stand before you. We know this is the way to life and happiness and righteousness. The blessed way. So help us all here, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.